Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we are running through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. Right now we're up to episode 19 of season 4. This one is called The Nth Degree. It was directed by Robert Legato, written by Joe Manosky, and it aired back on April 1st, 1991, April Fool's Day of 1991. Do you remember where you are when that happened? In this one, the crew discovers an alien probe near a malfunctioning Argus Array telescope. Geordi LaForge and Reginald Barclay attempt to examine the probe from a shuttle, but it emits an energy surge, knocking Barclay unconscious. He then becomes a super genius. Modi Operandis is here to talk about the Nth Degree with me, so right after this, we're going to go deep on the Nth Degree.
I'm sorry, Captain. I was only trying to help. Our computer was too slow to compensate for the overload on the array. So I created an interface that communicated my thoughts directly to the central processing unit.
Exactly what does that mean?
My body is as you see it here, but much of my higher brain functions and memory have been transferred to the starboard computer core.
Mr. Barclay, remove yourself from the computer system. Leave the holodeck.
I'm afraid I can't do that, sir.
And why not?
My primary cerebral functions are now operating almost entirely from within the computer. They have expanded to such a degree that it would be impossible to return to the confines of my human brain. Any attempt to do so would mean my death.
Modi, I have good news and I have bad news.
What's that?
The good news is you've been appointed to be showrunner of Star Trek The Next Generation in its fourth season.
Oh boy.
The bad news is ratings aren't doing so good, so you got to make some budget cuts. All right.
Okay.
So we have four very highly paid guest stars, and we need to start thinning the herd here. So out of these four, who are you going to choose to never make another appearance? You have O'Brien, Barclay, Guinan, or Q. Who's on the cutting block for you as a creative force going forward?
Number one is Q, probably.
You'd lose Q. He's going to be the first one to go? Okay.
And then number two would be Barclay.
Barclay would be number two, okay?
Yeah.
And so we're down to O'Brien and Guinan. We only have the budget for one. Who's going to go?
I really like Guinan. But given that I know how much like we get out of O'Brien as a character, even for like across like channeled and across like series,
yeah.
I'd probably go keep O'Brien and get rid of Guinan.
Okay. Would it impact you if you were allowed to keep O'Brien on Deep Space Nine? He just can't appear on TNG.
Oh. All right, yeah, I'll switch to that. I'll keep him on Deep Space Nine, and then I'll keep Guinan on TNG.
All Perfect. Right, so your order would be from best to worst. You'd have Guinan, O'Brien, Barclay, and Q.
Yep, that's okay. Right.
All right, interesting. I think I'm pretty similar. I might switch Barclay and Q, but
really?
That's ignoring this episode. So let's get into the Nth Degree, which is Barclay's return. It's his second appearance. Mm-hmm. He comes back and he gets sort of turned into a super intelligent being and takes over the Enterprise. And I don't know about you, I artificial intelligence is something that really interests me. I know it's kind of popular on places like Reddit and stuff like that to talk about like what Elon Musk thinks about artificial intelligence. But I've read a lot of books, like a Nick Bostrom book called Superintelligence about it, and just about like the, you know, it's basically about the fears of development of artificial intelligence and how it's likely that artificial intelligence is going to come by accident in the future, and it's whether or not humanity is prepared for what that might mean, to the point where the singularity is the event where, you know, the artificial intelligence basically starts to explode because artificial intelligence is going to be a self-improving process, so it's just going to eventually overtake whatever humans would be possible, and therefore becomes...
And then you've got Skynet.
Right, and then you've got Skynet. It all comes down to Skynet, which is oddly prescient. But yeah, it's just talking about that, and I'm very interested in that topic. And I think this episode does a pretty good job of explaining that fear. What did you think?
I didn't get the AI portion of it from this, really. I mean, I guess that's the point of Barclay, is that he's getting to be, like, self-replicatingly smart and smarter as he goes.
Yep.
he does turn into a dick. That helps.
He does, yeah. He comes to a point where, you know, the fear of artificial intelligence is that it's going to start making decisions for you that you don't necessarily agree with, basically. Yeah. Like, it's going
it's,
to be...
It's the HAL 9000 from 2001.
2001.
He knows what's best for everyone. So there's a lot of that actually in here when like Geordi's like crawling through the thing and he's like, I'm sorry, you're too late.
Right.
Like, that was like, that was 2001 right there. Like, that was perfect.
Yes. Yeah, it was. It's, I just thought that was a kind of interesting thing. We'll get into it more as we go along. But what did you think in general about the return of Mr. Barkley?
I kind of like his performances, actually. He does the neurotic guy pretty well, and maybe a little over the top with it. But I don't know. I kind of like the turn for the character, but I also just think this episode is ridiculous in general too. So
yeah, it's I think Dwight Schultz is like one of the better guest stars. It's weird that I would cut him early, but it's really just the fact that the other characters are kind of very strong. He doesn't have a lot going for him besides his sort of nebbish personality, but I think he crushes it every single time.
Oh yeah, like, for sure. This episode is great. Yeah,
Hall of Pursuits is really good. He's good here. The one time I wrote in my notes where he gets a little bit, the performance starts to fall apart is when he's playing cool Barkley around like Troy.
That was pretty funny. That was pretty entertaining also, though.
It's entertaining. I think it's a little cringy. Like, it's just getting to the point where it's like, ooh, you're just not he's not quite good as...
Not nailing it quite there.
Right. Yeah, playing the cool guy as he is at playing the sort of nebbish person. But I think my big takeaway here was I like the decision that they made. This was apparently written as a vehicle to get Barkley back. Outside of that...
That explains a lot. Holy cow.
That, I think that I like the choice that they don't always make where they give a story to a guest star because it allows for the rest of the cast to react to something, you know, as opposed to giving like Geordi this ability.
Yeah.
I think it's an interesting turn to just have someone like Barkley do it.
I don't agree. Okay. I think it reads like fan fiction to me.
Yep.
It's like, and then you told me that it was written as a vehicle to get Barkley back on the show, and I'm like, oh, that's why it reads like fan fiction, because it basically is. They're writing Barkley as the Mary Sue character of the author, and they're like, I'm a nerdy guy, but I'm gonna get all these powers and be better than everybody.
Yep.
And it's like, and everyone's gonna love me, I'm gonna make all the right decisions, and it's like, the whole thing reads like fan fiction.
Interesting. It's a it was written to get Mr. Reginald Barkley back. I think I like this episode quite a bit.
I think I do too. That's the thing. I'm hard on it.
Yeah.
But I still like this episode.
I think this is like, it's pretty quintessential Star Trek. Like, and to get to the end, I guess we'll talk about this first. I think the one mistake that they kind of make is I wish that I think they're called the Cytherians, who turn out to be the sort of like mastermind behind this one. They're the aliens that do it. The idea of an exploring race that's similar to the Federation, except they bring people to them as opposed to going out and finding them, is like a fascinating concept that I feel they could have done a whole episode on. Where this one kind of is about that, but you don't really explore their methods for why they do it.
Yeah.
I think that they... I would have stuck with that idea. And I think that that idea is unnecessary in this plot. And the sort of floating head at the end is kind of hokey. I didn't really like that.
Yeah, it is.
I would have gotten rid of them and just had the probe be mysterious and you never figure out what it was doing. And I think that would have been good. Would you think of the
Cytherian wrap up there? I don't think... The thing, again, why it reads like fan fiction to me is that, like, they have this super intelligent, obviously super advanced race that has the power to bring them, 30,000 light years?
Yeah, to the center of the galaxy, yeah.
To the center of the galaxy where they've never been before, basically. And you'd think that, like, this would be, like, the next level of first contact, basically. Like, this should be, like world-changing if you got to spend 10 days with these guys learning what they know.
Yeah.
Like, everything from this point of from the story on should have been, like... We've got all these advancements. Like, Picard just brushes off, like, oh, they'll be studying it for years.
Yeah.
And, this should have changed everything, I feel like.
I think that goes hand in hand with me. They obviously have a way of being, like, super intelligent, you know?
Yeah.
I would have accepted it if, if meeting them did not rely on becoming super intelligent, I would have accepted, you know, just, oh, they're just another group that has somehow managed to get people to find them. Yeah. I do agree with you. I think it's a little problematic that you meet them at the end and, you know, Picard has a line where it's like, it's going to take decades for us to begin to understand, yeah, like, what they're all about.
Unless they make you super intelligent for, like, 10 minutes and, yeah, you understand it all and you can explain it to everyone.
But we've learned the dangers of that. You can't do that. So that would be, that's my sort of argument for the probe. I don't need to know the origin of the probe, really.
No, I don't care about that either.
So I think that doing that was kind of a little bit of a misstep on the end. And it follows the TNG thing of they always feel the need to sort of wrap things up nicely.
Yeah.
And they do it more times than not. And I wish they didn't in this case.
The thing about this being a chance for Barclay to come back is that I feel like it should have killed him at the end. I feel like that he should have actually even died in this episode, but that was the whole point of this episode was to bring it back as a character.
Yep.
And like, they kind of like feels like they pulled their punch a little bit then, because like he's obviously, they're like, he's like, if you remove me from this machine, I'll die. And then it becomes like a HAL 9000 kind of situation where you have to shut down the computer, but the computer actually costs somebody's life of the crew.
Yeah. Yep.
And that becomes more interesting to me.
Yeah.
Like the decision there.
I'd agree.
How
with
do you
that.
Get out of that one without making a terrible decision?
Right, exactly. It's not a for how sort of high stakes the episode is. It doesn't really feel high stakes.
No,
all that much.
It's campy.
Yeah, it's a little bit campy, which I don't mind. It's not what it's really not the point that the episode was going for. But I kind of agree. If you wanted to make this more of a dramatic thing, that would have been the case, and like Barclay's actions would have been more detrimental than they really are.
Something more menacing, as right. Picard says.
Yeah, something more menacing. As opposed to going through this like sort of wormhole thing, which I really like the effect for, where it like slows down, the frame rate starts getting
choppy. Oh, that was
choppy.
Great, yeah. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the way the array looked. I thought that was a really cool set piece.
I did too. I wrote that down. I liked the idea. I liked that plot line of the array.
Yeah.
It looked cool, the sort of... It seems poorly designed. If one reactor going out will cause the entire thing to go out.
A cascading collapse, yeah.
That seems bad. But I did like the design. I like the idea that they have satellites like way, way out there where they hardly ever go. Yeah, and I thought that was good. I'd agree with you. I think the one... it's not really grounded in why Barclay's transformation is so bad. The crew just kind of tells you that it is.
Yeah, exactly. They're a little bit worried about his actions. They're like, well, he's not doing anything bad. You're locking up a guy for being smart, as Barclay, or as Geordi says it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but then he does go off the rails anyways.
He does right after that. I would have had his stuff be a little bit more menacing. You know, it's fine when it starts off because he starts going outside the chain of command, which they never really reprimand him for, which was surprising.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would see it after that. I would see, like, another step where he starts changing replicator food or something, you know, to be like, this is the peak nutrition and no one likes it. You know, like that's the only thing he allows the computer to make or something like that. But they don't do that. It really just jumps to, hey, I want to show you the center of the galaxy. And Picard goes, please don't. And he does it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like they pulled their punches because they needed to bring him back as a character.
Yep.
That they wanted him to be likable at the end of it. They wanted him to not have any type of real changes to his arc at the end of it. Like, he still goes back to being the neurotic guy so they can use that character again.
He's a little bit more confident. Slightly.
That's true. He does. He's the only character who really changes like that. I mean,
yeah,
because he is. In the first episode, he's very neurotic and he's trapped in his fantasies. And then in this episode, he's like grown as a person. And you've never seen anybody grow on this show, actually.
Right.
So yeah. He's the only character that can actually have change.
He's done it over two episodes and his acting has improved, which mm-hmm. is nice. That was the other kind too. Of... That was the other kind of weak thing. I didn't think his second Shakespeare turn, where he turns Beverly Crusher into like a weeping mess. it wasn't quite that good of a performance. So it's we're seeing the limits of Dwight Schultz.
That's the danger of you if you have like someone like on a show, quote unquote, performing the acting performance of their lifetime.
Yes,
you have to have an actor that can actually do the acting performance of their lifetime in order to portray that confidently, and so it doesn't actually work out that way. I mean. Patrick Stewart could probably pull it off.
Yes, he's one of the few. I did appreciate the opening. I love Data's reaction to everyone politely applauding the performance.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
he called it adequate, which I thought was kind.
Oh yeah, that was more than kind. Yeah,
yeah. People forgetting their lines is generally not an adequate performance. Yeah. Would you really? You mentioned before that you liked this episode. So would you really like about it?
So like I said, Barkley kind of turns into a dick, and I kind of like that actually.
Yep. Yep.
He's got some good lines. He's got some good. I just kind of like, as the first time I watched, it's like that's an annoying line. But then when he's trying to tell the computer how to build a neural interface, he's like, "That's fine. I'll tell you how to do it."
Right.
I like
that.
I actually like that line. the first time through, I watched it a couple times here. And I didn't really like that part, but then I like it at the end there.
Did you like the effects work on the when he's in the chair?
The neural interface, yeah, I kind of did like that actually too.
Yeah, I liked it.
It was an interesting, cool idea that they haven't really done on the show before.
The lasers intensify as he's like thinking about stuff. Yeah,
that as soon as Worf's like, they're gonna find a way to stop you, the lasers intensify.
Yeah.
It's probably in the script. It just says lasers intensify.
Dwight frowns a little bit more. Yeah. I like that idea. I like the I didn't mean to interrupt. I'll start off with that. I like the idea of him becoming the computer, I think, is the natural progression for that kind of thing. I did think it was weird they never had him square off against Data. To show like how far he's become. I didn't need Data to save the day, but I would have.
If he had shown that he's past Data, yeah,
right? If he came up with a solution that Data was having trouble understanding, like, which they kind of do.
Data
should
be the most sympathetic to him, I would think.
You would think
and that's true. They never really had a square off thing between, and then actually Data kind of undercuts the entire premise of the conflict here, because Data is Barkley, as far as a super smart being that they don't know if they can fully trust.
Yep.
I mean, that is Data.
Yes.
And they always give him their full trust all the time, except for like, you know, one or two episodes. So yeah, it kind of undercuts the whole theme of that. But they already have this super intelligent artificial intelligence there.
I always thought that, you know, in the movies, Data gets his emotion chip. He gets it in a couple episodes too. And I always think it's a terrible thing that they do, because they basically just turn him into a dick. Like, that's what Data becomes when he gets his emotion chip. He's just kind of like an asshole. And I think that the real danger is that he becomes more like Barkley is in this episode. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's a more dangerous outcome for giving emotionality to the computer, which is kind of what Barkley has here. You know, he thinks he's acting in the best interests of everybody. Data never undergoes that. So I think it's kind of a missed opportunity they do with Data. And I appreciate that this episode is one of the few episodes that actually touches on that subject, about like how someone super smart is kind of dangerous to the rest of the crew, or at least in their minds poses a threat to the crew, even if he eventually ends up not particularly being dangerous.
As far as this being a good script or not, does anybody here make a choice at all?
No.
I don't think there's anything about this that's like a character makes a decision to do something. It's just like Barkley becomes super intelligent and gets increasingly intelligent, but doesn't actually like have any conflict there about it. He feels great about it.
Yes,
and he's not conflicted. He loves it. And the crew, they decide, I guess, to turn on him, and they say, okay, we can't trust him anymore. That's the one choice that I guess they make, but it doesn't matter at that point, because he already can thwart every single effort they make.
It's also kind of out of the blue. It doesn't feel earned to me that they decide to flip around on him.
Well, when he saves the array by creating the neural interface, when they decided to flip on him.
Yes.
Because like, okay, he's integrated the computer, he's taking control now.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, this will be a problem then. They can see the writing on the wall there. But at that point, they can't stop him anymore.
Right.
So it's like, by the time they make their choice, it doesn't matter what choice they make.
Yeah,
And
I'd agree.
In the end, as opposed to like something like HAL 9000, it ends up being fine here. Like, there's no threat, actually. Like, if you just let Barkley just do what he wants, everything turns out the exact same way.
Yeah,
so the choice doesn't even matter in that regard.
I'd agree with that. I think the script is implying a conflict that isn't really there. You know, the characters are reacting to it just because the narrative sort of demands that someone oppose him as he's going about his business like this. But I think it fits into what we were talking about earlier. It's just like, you need to escalate it a little bit better than they do here.
And there needs to be a bigger threat. He's not menacing enough.
Yes, exactly. And I would totally agree with that. I think that would be
Even though he's taking control of the computer, they still don't have a reason not to trust him. you know?
Yeah, he hasn't done anything truly bad at that point.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of problems you'd probably need to... that's like the key issue of the script, that you'd have to really come up with a great idea and then stick it in. It's probably the hardest part, obviously.
Probably.
I like this episode just for its... just for what it kind of... It's like pure... This is like pure sci-fi. Like more so than we've seen recently. And I really like when they do... I don't know if I'd call this hard sci-fi, but it's certainly more sci-fi than the character stuff that we've been seeing a lot in this season. And I like that. I like the fact that they stuck it with Barkley, who's the one able to do this, because I think doing it to... Well, it's kind of true. It kind of falls into what you were saying. The characters don't really have a lot of character stuff going on here. Yeah. And I don't know if that would change if it was a regular actor who played the role.
Again, that's why it reads like fan fiction to me, for that reason. Like, it's like, nothing about this episode matters.
Yep.
The characters don't do anything they wouldn't normally do. The conflict is resolved on its own. And you have a character that comes, like... That it's introduced to the cast and then is immediately like the most important person in the world.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know. Whenever they have an episode that doesn't focus on one of the main cast members, I suppose that's a danger.
Yep.
Of it. It seemed like fan fiction.
Yes. Although they used to do this all the time in the first and second season, which I mean is good enough reason to say you shouldn't do it just because
that's those
episodes weren't very good. What I did notice here is that by having Barkley be the lead, the other characters fit their roles very well. Like, Deanna Troi is used pretty effectively in this episode.
Yeah, sure.
Jordy makes sense in, like, what he's doing. Uh-huh. I don't... other guests I've had on the podcast tend to dislike Jordy a bit more. I don't think Jordy's that bad. Jordy's a character that, when you put him in his role and you don't have him step outside that, he's a solid character.
I loved the part where he's crawling through the ducts and talking to Barkley.
Yes, yeah.
It's a really great scene. That's one of the best Jordy scenes I've seen in a little while here, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And that fits, like, Jordy's doing his job, you know, in that situation.
He does well when he's working on something else and offhandedly talking to somebody about something. He's a charming guy. Like,
I agree with that.
I don't know.
It's the storylines they're giving him outside of that are terrible. I think that's what the problem is, but I like Jordy in his elements. He's not a character like Picard where you can sort of pluck him out and put him into a different situation. He's not that kind of an actor, but he's well cast as the engineer on the show. And Troi in this one gets to do it's not a very high stakes, but she gets to communicate with Barkley about what's going on, and explain the sort of emotional dilemma to him, try to counsel him out of it. And I thought that was good.
She actually did something useful.
She did.
Yes. And she gets the little beat of wanting to go into the arboretum with him still, and he gets to up yell flummoxed again.
Yeah. Everything is back to normal.
I kind of wish at the end, when he's like makes that chess move, then like they turn around like, that's not even a legal move.
Right.
Like, just to undercut that he's got any kind of intelligence, but he still thinks he has it kind of thing. I would love that.
I thought that too. I thought it was a weird beat that they imply that he continues to be super intelligent.
Yeah. I just wish they would like checkmate in 9 moves.
Right.
And then,
yeah.
Then they turn to him like, no.
Right. Or
he just walks away.
I like the idea of the camera panning to them and just being like, that's not a legal move.
No, it's not.
Like
that. Right. That they just moved back to where it was. It's like, no.
Like, fuck that guy.
Yeah, that's a terrible move.
Cool. Well, I think we're done wrapping this up. I'm going to play an audio clip, and me and Modi are going to come back. We're going to give our final thoughts and rating.
So, how much do you remember?
Well, I remember doing everything. I just don't remember how or why.
How do you feel now?
Smaller.
Just plain old Barkley, huh?
Always seems to come back to that, doesn't it?
You know, almost everyone has a moment in their lives when they exceed their own limits, achieve what seems to be impossible.
The tricky part is what happens afterwards.
You almost always feel a sense of loss. But it is possible to carry something of that experience through the rest of your life in ways that you aren't even aware of now.
I think I know what you're saying.
Either way, Reg, you're an important part of this crew. In fact, I could really use your help with that level 3 diagnostic.
Sure.
Excuse me, Commander, but I believe Mr. Barclay and I had a date scheduled for a walk in the Arboretum.
The diagnostic can wait. I'll see you later.
You really don't have to do that.
I know.
May I? Checkmate in 9 moves.
I didn't know you played chess.
I don't.
So, my good sir, what are you going to give the Nth Degree as a rating?
I feel like my description of it as bad fan fiction.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Would make
by
me
that.
Think
yeah.
Would make me think that I don't like this episode, but I actually really do like this episode. I'm gonna give it a 3 on the strength of Dwight Schultz's performance and Geordi's interaction. And I mean, except for the very end part, the plot is really, really good.
Yep.
The Cytherean ending doesn't really do anything for me, but up until that point, it's really interesting, actually. And if they would have pushed in a different direction where they could have made it more menacing, this could have been an amazing episode.
Yes, I think I 100% agree with what you just said. I think this is a really good episode. It's much better than I remembered it. It's the ending that lets me down and a little bit of the stakes work that we talked about. But I really like the examination of superintelligence in this. I don't think they miss the mark really whatsoever in how they handle it. It's a little bit of the narrative issues that I have a problem with, but I think this is good Star Trek in that it's taking an issue and exploring it fairly effectively in an hour, and it gives you a nice little bit of like sci-fi through which to do that.
For sure.
I'm going to
cribs on 2001. It calls in all of the touchstones you'd expect for a story like this to call on.
Yep.
And it's one of their good sci-fi things up until a point.
Yeah. I think it's I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. I think it's above nice. I think it's an above average episode. I really like it, and I agree with you. It could have been an excellent episode if they had just fixed those minor things. But yeah, that's it. I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. Moda gives it a 3 out of 5. I think we're pretty much on the same page with that episode, which is interesting, and it was a pleasant surprise. I'll say that for it too. So, you guys are on YouTube listening to this. You enjoyed the content today. I'd appreciate a like and a comment. If you're on iTunes, a rating or review helps get the show out there. Modi, thank you very much for coming on, for talking about this.
Thank you.
And we're going to be back, you and me, with Cupid in a couple days.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. And so look forward to that. Q makes his dramatic return. The Nth Degree is over and done with. See you guys later.